Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Thelma, Ghostlight, and Spacey Unmasked.
I'd like to start off by talking about Thelma, which is not a person, but a movie, although it's about a person named Thelma. It was written, directed, and edited by Josh Margolin, and it was based, loosely based, I guess, on something that actually happened to his grandmother. And this movie is very much about an old woman, but boy, she often doesn't act like an old woman. So here's what Thelma is about. We have a woman named Thelma, who is 93 years old, and she has a young and it seems quite irresponsible grandson named Danny, and they spend a lot of time together. He sort of looks after her to some extent, although she's a pretty independent person. And one day she gets a phone call in a panic, saying that her grandson is in jail. He hit a pregnant woman with his car or something, and they have to get him out of the jail. And in order to accomplish that, Thelma has to send $10,000 to this particular address immediately to get poor Danny out of jail right away. So this sounds to me like a scam. But, yep, Thelma, although she seems to be a pretty savvy person, totally falls for that. This mails off the money, soon afterwards discovers that Danny is not in jail, that all of this was completely made up, and now she is mad. Now she is angry, and now she is upset. So she enlists her daughter and her daughter's husband, and Danny, and she decides she's going to do something about this, but she actually takes matters into her own hands, and she decides to go after the scammers. And in order to find them and to get a hold of them and to get her money back, she enlists an accomplice, a guy named Ben, who she finds in an old folks' home. They're old friends. Her main reason for going to him is that he has a scooter, one of those little scooters that people who are disabled ride around. He's got one of those, and she wants to use that to go on her way. I should add that one of her inspirations for going on this quest, this quest to get back her money and punish the scammers, is partly inspired by her having looked at a Tom Cruise movie on television. And she sees Tom Cruise doing his own stunts and rushing off in a Mission Impossible. And that's one of the things that inspires her. So she sets off with her friend Ben, who is also a very old man, on his scooter. And well, let's just say that they go searching for the scammers. And of course, this movie is basically a comedy. And so you know that things are probably going to turn out okay in the end. One of the interesting things about Thelma, which, by the way, is a very likable movie. It's by no means a great movie, but it sure is fun. Good things about it is its cast. Thelma is played by June Squibb. So Thelma is, as I said, a 93-year-old character, and she is played by this 94-year-old actor. So that's pretty darned impressive. At the very, very end of the movie, by the way, around the time of the closing credits, we get a glimpse of the director's own grandmother, who is still alive, and she is in her hundreds now. She's about 103. So she's still around, and the actor June Squibb is a whole lot younger, about 10 years younger, but she's pretty old, and I have to say she gives a tremendously energetic performance. She is riding around on that scooter, and she is looking for these people, and eventually she does find them. One of them, by the way, turns out to be Malcolm McDowell, also getting up there, but an actor who it's always interesting to see. Well, anyway, she does a very, very fine, energetic, enjoyable job of playing our main character. Now, I also have to mention the character of Ben, this senior citizen friend whose scooter is used and who joins Thelma on her great quest for revenge and for getting her money back, played by Richard Roundtree. Roundtree. Now, Richard Roundtree became a great big star way back in the early 1970s, 1971, when he starred in Shaft, one of the greatest of all of the old blaxploitation movies from back in those days. He died, actually, since this movie was filmed, since the new movie, Thelma, was filmed, but he is very much in it, and he's terrific. Just like June Squibb, who plays Thelma, Richard Roundtree has a lot of energy. He is just an engaging character and an engaging actor, and he does a fine job as the kind of second banana in this great quest. I also have to mention Fred Hechinger, who plays Danny, the young, irresponsible grandson. Really, really a solid performance. He really comes across as an irresponsible but likable young guy, and that's not always the easiest thing to project in a movie. I'll also just mention one more person, and that is Parker Posey, who plays the mother of Danny and the daughter of Thelma. She was in every independent movie made a few decades ago, but she's still very much on the scene, still doing TV work, still doing movie work, and she does a good job too in this film. So, good cast. I'll mention a few of the names again. June Squibb, Fred Hechinger, Parker Posey, above all, maybe Richard Roundtree. Good, good people, and a movie that moves along at a good, fast clip and is full of sort of unexpected little twists and turns, and it really gets the job done. So again, this is not a great film. It's not a major film. It's not a huge film. In fact, it's kind of a small film in its way, but it has a certain amount of action, a few laughs, and it's just fun to watch. So Thelma has my recommendation. Not my very highest recommendation, but I really did like it, and it's pretty hard to resist, actually. Now I'd like to turn to another movie with a one-word title, Ghostlight. That's not two words, it's one word. I have to mention that I like Thelma. It's a nice movie. I don't much like Ghostlight. Both Thelma and Ghostlight have gotten rapturous reviews from critics, Ghostlight especially. I didn't much take to it. I'll get to that in a moment. In any case, Ghostlight is the story of a family which is grieving. A 17-year-old boy, the son of the family, recently died, and only gradually do we find out the circumstances of that. But it was very sad, and the family is in a state of mourning over this boy who died not that long ago. So, the father of the family, who is a construction worker, happens through one of these sort of cute situations that we find in a lot of movies, to get recruited into acting with a community theater group. And they happen to be putting on Romeo and Juliet, which of course is about teenagers dying. This is a fraught situation for him. His own teenage son has just died, and now he finds himself, much to his own surprise, being involved with a theater group which is putting on a play about teenagers who died. And very, in a very unlikely twist, our middle-aged construction worker ends up playing the part of teenage Romeo in this theater production. That's a whole other story. Juliet is equally non-young, as it turns out. And along the way, our main character, his name is Dan, he has to deal with his wife, who is very much in a state of grief, and deal with their daughter, who is also very, very upset about all of this business and is sort of out of control. She is losing her ability to deal with school and relationships and things like that. Anyway, what happens by the time we get long into the movie is that all of these people, that is our main characters, Dan, the construction worker, his unruly teenage daughter, they get involved, both of them, in the theater group, and they're very much involved in acting and whatnot, and Romeo and Juliet comes into this a lot, and we hear a few speeches from Romeo and Juliet. We see an occasional scene from Romeo and Juliet, and we also have a very important secondary character who is the actor who recruits Dan into this community theater group, and she's an interesting character in her own right. So, the trouble with Ghostlight, in my opinion, two troubles. Trouble number one, it doles out information about what exactly is going on in this movie, one little drop at a time, over maybe the first 45 minutes, maybe the first half hour of the movie. It's very calculated. I found it very manipulative. You get this little hint about something, and then you have to sort of guess what might be going on. And a little bit later on, you get another little hint about something, and this would be fine if it were done in a more organic way. But I found myself feeling that the movie was playing with me, was just sort of keeping me on the edge of my seat by artificial means, by just not telling me things and giving me one little teeny bit of information after another. So I didn't much like the way the movie did that. There's nothing wrong with this approach, this structure in itself, but I felt the movie did it in a very manipulative and calculated way. The other trouble is that, my gosh, the story is too neat. We have people grieving over the death of a teenager who become involved in putting on a play that deals with the death of teenagers. And it's just too neat. It's too pat. Everything fits together in a way that, again, I found, to use this word again, too calculated and even manipulative. Now, this movie has just gotten such rapturous reviews from so many critics. Okay, that's very nice. And I'm sure a lot of audiences are enjoying it and will enjoy it. But I have to say, I just found myself being kind of put off by the whole thing. Okay, another interesting thing about the film, however, is the cast of it. When the movie was being written, she had in mind a particular actor named Keith Kupferer, and he's the one who plays the main character, Dan. And then along the way, he suggested that his daughter play the role of the daughter in the movie. And then that happened. She went and she read for the part and she got it. Then Kupferer recommended that his wife be cast as the wife. And so that happened too. So we have here an on-screen family being played by an actual off-screen family, and that's kind of interesting. And the performances are perfectly okay. There's nothing wrong with them. Again, my problem with Ghostlight, or I should say the problem Ghostlight had with me, is that it just seems too calculated, too neatly put together, and I just didn't go for it. So apparently most people are going for it, and certainly most critics are going for it, so I say more power to them. It's a nice movie, it's a well-meaning movie, it's a fairly well-acted movie, and all of that, but my gosh, I just wish it seemed more organic and a little bit less mechanically put together. For a movie about the deepest human emotions, it seems just too mechanical for comfort, at least to me. And finally, now I want to talk about a documentary, and this is actually a little tiny TV series. It's two episodes, so it's the length of a longish kind of movie, although it was made for television, and it's called Spacey Unmasked. And yes, it is about the actor Kevin Spacey, and it is about the tremendous scandals that have plagued his life and his career in recent years. Now, I say right now, Spacey has gone on trial. This is a British film, and Spacey has gone on trial in England on charges of sexual harassment and things like that, and he has been acquitted. He is found not guilty, so okay, that's fine. You know, maybe the guy is completely blameless in all areas of life. I'm not judging that. But what we have in this movie, Spacey Unmasked, is interviews with about 10 people, all of whom claim that they were sexually harassed or submitted to sexual aggression by Kevin Spacey. Now, we're not talking now about the kind of constant, over-the-top kinds of things that apparently Harvey Weinstein was involved in, and he is currently serving a lot of prison time for that, Harvey Weinstein is. This is lower-level stuff. It's not quite so aggressive as that. But one person after another appears on the camera and tells about how Kevin Spacey got in their space, got in their face, did things they didn't want him to do, was aggressive, was sexual, and very often this is gay stuff. In fact, pretty much always this is gay stuff, and so that's another level of this, is that we have here a character who has, a man who has, let's say, not exactly brought a whole lot of credit to the idea of mature sexuality through his antics, apparently, in recent years, because even if he didn't do things that were criminally culpable, and again, he has been acquitted more than once. He apparently did do things that would make people very unhappy and very uncomfortable. Now, one of the things that Spacey Unmasked gets into is the effect this has had on Spacey's career, including very much the TV series House of Cards. And my gosh, I've seen all of House of Cards, and it was a really good series in the beginning. And then I think it sort of went downhill, and then they just had to kick Kevin Spacey out. Netflix just had to get rid of him because of this horrible scandal stuff that was going on. And then, in my opinion, the series really totally tanked. But anyway, that's in this. It's discussed. We see the history of that in this documentary. Also, we see him as running the Old Vic Theatre in London and his very distinguished career there, especially cultivating younger actors, acting as a mentor to younger performers and so forth, and how that also got discombobulated by these awful accusations against him. So again, what Spacey Unmasked does is it acknowledges he has been acquitted of things in court, but it also brings in before the camera people who testify one after another about just the untoward and unlikable and generally awful kinds of sexuality that he just brought to people, put into their space. And that is what is interesting about Spacey Unmasked. It's a harrowing commentary on what can go on today, somewhat behind the scenes of the entertainment scene. Poor Kevin Spacey, I feel sorry for him, but it does look like he was not entirely blameless. And that is my partly documentary, partly fictionalized story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Thelma, Ghostlight, and Spacey Unmasked.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.